I'm delighted to welcome Steve Hallett, who is going to be speaking to us tonight and kicking off our Summer Sunday series. Let's pray for Steve and for ourselves as we welcome him to come and speak to us. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you've revealed yourself to us in Scripture. Thank you for my brother Steve, for the call you placed on his life to go into ordained ministry, for his gifting in teaching and preaching. Lord, pray that Holy Spirit, you would anoint him to speak your word to us tonight. And I pray for myself and for each one of us that we would hear your voice clearly as Steve speaks to us. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Danny. Good. Welcome, everybody. So we are starting our new series this next few weeks over the summertime. It's great to have so many people together. And our series is going to be looking at some interesting topics. So the topic and the heading is going to be Why Christianity Makes Sense. And what we're going to do over the next 5 weeks is look at these five topics. We're going to start today. I'm going to be exploring, can I believe there's a God? Then Keith is going to come and look at where can I find truth. We've got, do all faith lead to God? Has science banished faith? God, evil, and suffering. Okay. Now, you're probably wondering why we're looking at these topics. Well, let me tell you, if you're a Christian here tonight, what we hope to be able to do is to equip you with arguments or comments or thoughts about being able to talk to your neighbors or your work colleagues about maybe some of the arguments that they have about the Christian faith. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, what we hope you'll do by the end of tonight, or maybe by the end of the series, is to maybe explain to you a little bit more about this Christian faith and how it can dramatically change your life. The other good thing is if you miss a week, obviously with holidays, we are live streaming this, and it's going to be on the website and the YouTube, so you can catch it up or even point your friends to come and hear and listen to what we're doing tonight. Now, because it's different, we're going to be a little bit kind of apologetic in its structure. It's going to be a little bit interactive. So what we're going to do tonight is you can see there's a mobile number at the bottom of this slide and every slide. So during my talk, if at any point you disagree with what I say, or maybe you agree with what I say, or just have a comment or a thought, please text it in during the talk. I know you're so used to people like, put your phones away. No, get your phones out. We want to have lots of texts. Danny's going to be managing the phone down here. Tonight is about the topic, can I believe there is a God? So that's what we want questions on tonight. And during the other sessions, we'll be able to have the opportunity to text in and talk about those as well. Okay, does that make sense? So have you got your phones ready? Only texting Danny, not anybody else, not your mate, about what you're going to do for anything else. Okay. So, can I believe there is a God? Now, why do we start here? We start here, we believe, because this is pretty much fundamental to who we are. Why we are here. Not tonight because there's a barbecue, but why are we here on earth? What are we doing with our life? What is the point and purpose of life? Does anybody find yourselves asking those kinds of questions? And for me, I would suggest it starts with our understanding of God. And as Christians, we believe that everything depends on it, both life now and after we die. So, if you were to ask your friends, can you believe there is a God? What kind of comments might you get? Maybe you might get some of these, no. There might be something I don't think we can know. Maybe there's a kind of a guiding light which will help us. Or maybe one or two might say, yes, I do. Somebody, when I asked them this question, said this: until someone can prove it, then I'm going to follow my own way. So what I'm going to try and do tonight is to help us unpack that a little bit and try from a Christian perspective why we believe there's a God and try and help us prove that by providing some evidence. Would that be a good plan? Okay, are you with me so far? Now, we believe that across this universe that we're in, there are a series of indicators, if you like, God's fingerprints, clues or evidence all over the world for his existence. Now, I've prepared a list of some things on these. So I want you to just think for a moment. If somebody was to say to you, what evidence do you have personally for there being a God? Maybe in just 30 seconds, turn to your neighbor and talk to each other and see if you can figure out and ask each other, what evidence do you have for there being a God? Maybe different to what's on my list, maybe new for you. Go on, quick, 30 seconds. Okay, so you might have come up with some ones that are different to my list. If you have got different ones, text them in, and we're going to try and have a look at those later on. Now, what I'm going to try and do in the next 10 minutes or so is pick on a couple of these and explore them, but I'm only really going to be able to scratch the surface in this time that we're going to have together. So what I want to do is I would always encourage you and us to try and explore this a little bit further ourselves. So what I would say to you is that I've really been indebted to the following people that I have read and have been looking up. So can we just have the next slide, just so that you can see. These are three books that I would recommend you to have a look at. It Makes Sense by Stephen Gawk, Roger, I would say is a really good material for all the weeks that we're looking at. Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, that should be, not Lewis, unless he's changed his name, and N.T. Wright by Simply Christian. Now, if there's some in the room today who are more philosophical and like good debates and discussion, I would also heartily recommend a guy called William Lane Craig. He's a U.S. research professor, Talbot School of Theology, and he has a website called Reasonable Faith, but also if you look him up on YouTube, he has some amazing debates and discussions with people like Richard Dawkins and people like that. So if you're into that kind of debate stuff, I would heartily recommend those. Because what I'm going to pick out is some of their ideas and some of my own thoughts and try and just pull out a couple of them. The first place to start with all this has to be with the universe that we are in. So when we look at the universe, there is this fantastic phrase called the Kalem cosmological argument. Basically, what this says is the universe began to exist at a certain point in time, and therefore it is in need of explanation. And the argument goes on to say that whatever begins to exist must have a cause. So the universe began to exist, therefore the universe has a cause. Okay? With me so far? So the argument goes, and this is where Lane Craig's argument is one of his key points, he says that the whole universe was caused to exist by something beyond it and greater than it. And from a Christian point of view, there's no secret that one of the most important conceptions of what we mean by God is creator of heaven and earth. Okay? That's quite a big, heavy one to start with, isn't it? So just to continue that point, there's a guy called Hubert Spencer, who was a British philosopher and sociologist, and he pulled out five scientific principles by which we study the unknown. And these are time, force, energy, space, and matter. And if we all know, the beginning of the Bible fits into this model from a Christian point of view, where we say, in the beginning, time, God, the force, created the heavens and the earth. So from a Christian point of view, from the very first book of the Bible, we believe that God was outside of the universe. He was the creator of the universe. And he created us, and he created the world that we see around us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? As I said, I have scratching over this quite quickly. There are some major things, but you can look those up if you want to explore that a bit further. The second part that obviously moves on to is order and design, or what they say, the teleological argument. Okay? In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "For since the creation of the world, his, that's God's, invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." They being us. Okay? So this argument goes on to say that the universe and the living things within it exhibit design in their order, consistency, unity, and pattern. And scientists have identified 100 laws of nature, fine-tuned characteristics of our universe. So let me just try and put something into your mind for a minute, okay? I've got here a penny, right? So if we covered the whole of Europe with a penny, in pennies, right? And we built up penny on penny on pennies until it reached the moon. And we did that across 1 billion Europes, right? And then we took one penny and colored it bright red and put it in the midst of all those pennies. And then we gave you a blindfold, made you blindfold, and told you to go and pick the red penny. The odds of you picking that penny are 10 to the 37. That means it's 10 followed by 37 zeros. I mean, the odds are just beyond our comprehension. Now, what do you want you to imagine? This argument goes that there are 100 incidences where the exact elements of data and coin, penny, if you like, are so picked out that it is almost impossible to work out the odds of all that fitting together at the same time. Are you with me? Yeah? So here's one of the constants. The force of gravity is determined by the gravitational constant, right? If this constant varied by just 1 in 10 sixtieths, 10 followed by 60 zeros, none of us would be alive today. Yeah? Just extraordinary, the fine-tuning of it. So that, with the cosmological and the teleological argument, is about evidence for a creator God who's designed it and has created this fine-tuning within it. So, are you with me? Yeah? Now, what I'd like us to do, just to reinforce this a little bit more, we all know Sir Isaac Newton, right? Sir Isaac Newton built got his friends to build a example of the solar system, right? And an atheist friend of his walks in one day and has a look at this, and he says, "Wow, who made that?" And Isaac Newton says, "Nobody." He says, "No, somebody must have made that, surely." He says, "No, nobody made it. Look, this machine has been made by somebody. Don't keep saying nobody made it." So Isaac Newton turns to him and says, "Now, isn't it amazing? I tell you something simple of a toy like that, and you don't believe me. Yet you gaze out into our solar system, the intricate, marvelous machine that is made in our world, and you dare say to me that no one made it. As Christians, we believe there is order, design, beauty within our universe, which didn't happen by accident. It happened by a God who was involved with it. But the thing is, when you look around our world, we see that actually it is broken, isn't it, in so many places and so many ways. And we try and perhaps look to ourselves or to others to try and see if we can find a way of fixing it. And we sometimes cry out and think, somebody must have an idea how we can fix this, maybe come from outside and give us the answers and save us from this madness of a world that we're in. As Christians, we believe that person was Jesus Christ. God sent his Son to earth. And Jesus said that when you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Anyone who believes in me believes in the Father. So for me, this argument is probably the most compelling reason that I'm a Christian. Because I don't know about you, when I look at the cosmological, the teleological, the morality, the conscience, all those other ones, I really struggle to get my head around them. But when I come and see and understand the person of Jesus Christ, things change and is different. Because I don't think anybody could come up with a story like this. In John's Gospel, in John, in the Bible, it says this: "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." And the Bible says it's in Jesus Christ that we find out who we are and what we were living for. C.S. Lewis puts it: "The great question that Jesus asked his followers is, who do you say I am?" And I believe that question is probably the most important question that we will ever be asked. And our answer to that will last the whole of our lives and into eternity. C.S. Lewis goes on to say that Jesus could only have been one of four things: a legend, a liar, a lunatic, or Lord and God. And he has a series of arguments to support those, but he finishes off by saying, "Now it seems to me obvious that he was neither a lunatic nor a fiend, and consequently, however strange or terrifying or unlikely it may seem, I have to accept the view that he was and is God." So we believe that we know what God is like because Jesus has made him known to us. For me, it doesn't always revolve around those arguments, as interesting as they are, and as debating and conversation. For me, it's about Jesus. Because I believe in God because the evidence of creation and design is compelling. I believe in God because nothing else in the universe and life makes sense without him. I believe in God because he revealed himself in Jesus Christ. And I believe in God because Jesus died and rose again and overcame death, that we can have a relationship back with God again. And I believe in God because he gives meaning to my life and why I am here. And I think there's many in this room and thousands around the world who would the same thing. The question I'm going to ask you before I look at the questions that you've asked me is, what about you? Who is Jesus to you? And what does God mean to you? Can I believe there is a God, is the question we started with tonight. So I want to finish this part with a poem. And you'll have the opportunity, if you want to catch me at the end, where you can pick it up for yourself at the end. Yeah, there'll be some at the back. And the poem says this, that you are who you are for a reason. You're part of an intricate plan. You're a precious and perfect, unique design, called God's special woman or man. You look like you look for a reason. Our God made no mistakes. He knit you together within the womb. You're just what he wanted to make. The parents you had were the ones he chose. And no matter how you may feel, they were custom designed with God's plan in mind, and they bear the master seal. No, that trauma you faced was not easy, and God wept that it hurt you so. But it was allowed to shape your heart so that into his likeness you'd grow. You are who you are for a reason. You've been formed by the master's rod. You are who you are, beloved, because there is a God. Amen. So Danny, shall we see what questions we've got?
Great job, Steve. We just gave you the easy job of proving the existence of God to kick us off, so well done. Cool, okay, so loads of people were texting questions as you were speaking. So these are a few that came in several times in various forms. The first one, why does God not make himself more obvious to us? So if God is real, if God exists, why is it not overwhelmingly, or why doesn't he write it in the sky in lightning that he exists and he's out there?
That's a good one to start with, isn't it? Do you know, that's a really good question. And do you know what? If I hold my hands up, I would say, I wish God would do that as well. But I think there's partly something in the struggle and the engagement and the searching that we go through as people that are actually wanting to find God through his word in creation, that actually something in that searching actually helps us engage more with who God is and how he is. And I think sometimes if it's too easy, we would take it for granted. And I think it would be something that we wouldn't appreciate as much once we find it. Because the interesting thing is the Bible says that when you search me and search me with all your heart, I will come and meet you. And I think that's the thing. We've got to search God with all our heart.
Awesome.
Okay.
Awesome. Another question that was coming in. This one is a real humdinger. I'm not going to lie to you, Steve. Who created God?
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. Now you're all out there going, okay. Do you know what? That is a really, really big one. And I think a lot of people ask, whenever you come and look at these arguments, that's often the first place that people will start to say, how can you have something that is outside of something to create it? Okay. Because it assumes, doesn't it, that in the subject of us looking at that, we're trying to look at it in our human minds, that actually we're trying to interpret this in how we define time and space. And I think that is not always the right place to start. Because the Bible talks about him being before all things and in him all things hold together. And also that he is outside time and space. And when you follow some of the arguments from the Christian perspective, they say that actually when you look at the creation of the universe, there has to be something outside of that to create the matter and the construction of it. And that's why the teleological argument about design for me is so compelling, because it just shows there has to be something outside of that created being. Does that?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Right. You should make sure you do a philosophy module when you're trading for ordination, by the way. You're doing well here. Final question. You've been talking about whether or not God exists and how we can have some confidence that God does exist. But if he does, what should we do with that truth? What should we do with the reality of God's existence? How can we respond to that tonight?
Danny, that's a really good question. And we're going to finish on that one, because I think what this does, it brings us right back to the start of this question, this topic. This one says, can I believe there is a God? Yeah. So that for me represents a personal response. And the big question is, if God exists, what are we going to do about it? He's not just some far-off being or some kind of guiding light. He's actually sent his son, Jesus, so we can have a relationship with him. Mm. Okay? And we are created by a personal God who knows everything about you and about me, and he loves you and he loves me, and he has a plan for our life. But you see, what happens in the world when we went against God's plan? Death entered the world, and it caused us to be separated from God. But God made a way for us to get back into relationship with him through Jesus Christ, who I mentioned earlier. And by sending his son, he then rose again after 3 days to offer us hope and new life and freedom for whoever follows him. You see, when we decide to respond to God's revelation in creation or through Jesus, he promises that he will draw near to us. So when we say and recognize that there is a God, and we recognize and understand there is Jesus Christ, what we do is we have the opportunity to invite Jesus to come into our life. And by doing that, that connects us with God and Jesus, and we have a relationship and we understand our purpose in life. And maybe for some of you tonight, you've listened to the evidence, you've listened to the conversations about Jesus, and you've never in your life ever invited Jesus into your life. Because I started off by saying one of the things, the reason we're exploring this, because we believe as Christians, when you invite Jesus into your life, it will dramatically change your life for the better. So I'm going to say a prayer in a minute. And if for you this is the first time you've ever thought about inviting Jesus into your life, then I would ask you to repeat this prayer with me. And it goes like this: Jesus, I believe that you have a plan for my life, a life full and bursting with promise. Would you show me today who I am in you and what life is all about in your eyes? I'm sorry for all the things I've done wrong. Would you forgive me and come into my life so that I can know your love and walk through life with you now and forever? Amen.